live from Down Under in Melbourne, Australia. Live recorded from Melbourne, Australia is Michael Dixon, the voice of the Lincoln Salt Dogs, and mentioned to me just a minute ago, he's having the time of his life, and we're going to find out what that means. Michael, thanks.
Thanks so much, John. Always a pleasure.
You are doing baseball in Australia, so why don't you tell us what in the world that's all about and how you ended up in Melbourne?
Well, I actually met someone through the Salt Dogs last summer, and there have been a couple of us through the American Association who have either come here to broadcast or come here to play in the ABL. And so through those connections that I made with, whether it's broadcasters or players, I found a spot here in Melbourne. They needed a broadcaster, and it took a while last summer, so the summer of 2023, to hash things out, but we finally did once our Salt Dog season ended and they had a broadcast opportunity here. And everything I've heard about coming here and spending some time made it a no-brainer. And so baseball in Australia is weird. It is a sport that is very much trying to grow. At times in this country's history, baseball has been bigger. At times it's been smaller. And right now, on the heels of a really good World Baseball Classic run, I think the sport is also growing once again. And so, in the USA, you don't really have to sell people on baseball. Everyone knows what it is. It's our national pastime, if you will. But in Australia, you got to sell people on baseball, and you got to try and explain it to them. You got to let people know that it's happening. I mean, a lot of people don't even realize there is an Australian Baseball League. It's very small. It's very similar to the league we have in the American Association, very similar to the league we have in Lincoln. The difference would be that you do have some major league prospects who come down here. So major league teams do send some of their prospects to Australia to try and get perhaps a little more repetition if they miss some time with injury or whatever it might be. So we have some Texas Rangers prospects here. And there's also teams in Japan and Korea that send players here to Australia. So it's a melting pot, much more of a melting pot than I'm used to. But with that and the combination of trying to sell the folks of Australia, the sport as a whole, it's been quite the experience. But again, I've learned so much here, and I'm so thankful for the time I've been able to spend here.
So how would you say the quality, A, double A? Is there any way to give us some kind of a context in that respect?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, just like the American Association, right? Your highest level is really high. For instance, Greg Bird is on our roster, and Greg Bird was a name that a lot of baseball fans remember. He was an up-and-coming prospect with the New York Yankees a little while back, had some big-time postseason home runs for the Yankees. Unfortunately, his career was cut short because of injury, and he's still playing. So he actually leads the league in home runs and RBIs, and he's on our roster, so it's been really fun to watch him play. But then you also have, I mean, we've seen 15 and 16-year-old local Aussie players, they call development players, who are on these rosters to try and give them experience. And it doesn't really mess with their eligibility in the USA, which is nice, so they can still come over here and play collegiately if they want to, even though the ABL is a professional league. So you've got the likes of Greg Bird, Delman Young's come through here. A lot of big-time major league names have come through here. And then you have, 15 and 16-year-old Aussie players who also find their way into games. So I think, yeah, probably somewhere around single A, maybe lower double A. It's really hard to tell, but I know that everyone just enjoys being here, because if you're here playing baseball, you're in Australia in the middle of the summer, and like I am, the players are having the time of their life as well.
What's the name of your baseball team, and how can we hear it?
So I work for the Melbourne Aces, and it's the second iteration of the ABL. So there's actually a long history of Australian baseball. The championship is called the Claxton Shield. They used to award the Claxton Shield way back in the 50s, the 60s, and then they tried to create an ABL in the 80s and the 90s, and then it went back to more of a state-by-state format. They have states out here in Australia, just like we have in the United States. So it went back to state-by-state, and then they tried again to create the ABL. So that iteration began in 2010 and has played ever since. The champion is awarded the Claxton Shield. So Melbourne's one of those original franchises in the ABL. And we play at Melbourne Ballpark, which is actually in Altona. It's a suburb of Western Melbourne. It takes me about an hour actually via train each day to get there. But our games are live on YouTube, and the ACE's Facebook page as well, free to view worldwide. It just depends on if you want to get up at 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning over there in the USA to watch it. But actually do have quite a bit of viewers, and we also have a lot of loyal viewers who are big time fans of Australian baseball. And I've learned very quickly that you got to make sure that you're on top of your Australian baseball. And if you try to make too many comparisons to what happened to the USA, they're going to let you hear about it. So it's a different broadcast here for sure. But once first pitch is thrown, it's baseball, as we all know, and it really has been a blast.
So, Michael, who drives baseball in Australia? Is it domestic? Is it expats? You know, who are the people who say we're gonna play baseball, we're gonna be baseball, and we're gonna make this work? Who are they?
Well, I learned very quickly. There's a lot of, they call them imports. Whether you're from the Dominican or the United States, wherever, you get imported into Australia to play. There's quite a few of those. You're Greg Birds of the ABL, but a lot of the players are Australian baseball players. And there's a very unique culture of baseball here that is driven by the local club scene. And I think that's one of the most unique things I've learned. I had no idea that existed in Australia. And you know, we have in the USA, obviously, we have club baseball is the fabric of youth baseball. But once you get to a certain point, if you're playing collegiate baseball or you're playing in an affiliated organization or you're playing with the Salt Dogs and independent ball, you're playing for that team, right? You're not really playing club ball. Whereas all these guys, especially the local players, they also play for their local clubs. So, you know, they might play for the Aces on the weekend, and they might also play for their club team on Tuesdays. And then that's how they play and they keep the sport alive. The club scene is supported quite well. Those club players are actually compensated. You know, you can go to club games, you can buy beer, you can buy hot dogs, right? You can go watch these lower level club games in Australia. And so what drives baseball, I think, in Australia are the Australians who love the game more than just about anything. And the local team is very popular for those who play the game here. A lot of people who don't really follow Australian baseball are aware of what's happening overseas. They are aware of what's happening with Shohei Ohtani. They're aware of the New York Yankees, the Chicago Cubs. They might not be aware of the fabric of Australian baseball. And I think that's where the Australians, who are so integral to keeping the sport alive here, that's where they succeed, because, you know, without them, baseball might not really be a thing here. And so they're trying to grow it. They're trying to keep it alive. And I would flip a coin when you look at a roster as to whether or not the player in an ABL roster is Australian or not. Maybe it's even higher than that, 60-40. I don't really know, but I just know when you look at an ABL roster, you see nationality, you see a lot of Australian players, and those are the guys who really keep this sport going.
So how many games a week, and then how often do you, how many games total do you play?
So the season is 40 games, and it's very much like a conference schedule in college baseball, where you play Thursday through Sunday, or you play 4 games over the course of a weekend. Some teams don't like to play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're fortunate in Melbourne, because of the crowds that we get, that we can stomach 4 openings and not really worry about, you know, bad crowd. In fact, we had over 1,000 people last night in a stadium that only holds about 1,800. So it gives you an idea that for a Thursday night, the crowd was pretty good, and had some massive crowds over New Year's weekend. Other teams that might not draw as well, they'll do perhaps a Thursday night game with a doubleheader Friday, and then one game Saturday, or Thursday, Friday, and a doubleheader Saturday. So there's quite a few doubleheaders that are mixed in there. But it is very similar to a conference baseball schedule, and it's 10 rounds. The math adds up. We're right now around 8, so the season's coming to an end pretty quickly, and then the top 4 teams of the 6-team league make the playoffs. So Melbourne's in a pretty good spot, and just got to keep winning.
That's a high fly ball deep to right field, and Greg Bird has taken flight. My goodness. No doubt about it, his league-leading 7th home run. And Greg Bird with a seismic homer in the bottom of the 3rd. The Aces have a 5-1 lead.
Michael Dixon is the voice of the Lincoln Salt Dogs and the Melbourne Aces. spending a few months in Melbourne, down under in the Australian Baseball League. I'm John Schrader. So what have you learned about yourself as a broadcaster doing this work in Australia?
Well, I told you that the broadcast is through YouTube and through Facebook, which means we don't have radio, which means we have a TV production. And, you know, my job with the Salt Dogs is radio first, even though we do have a live stream, but we do all the games over the years. So I've gotten very used to calling games on the radio, not as used to calling games on TV, where your viewer can see everything. We have quite a few replays, a lot of camera shots. The only thing that doesn't make it a full-on TV production is that we don't have someone in our ear during an inning. So we do actually sit in the same room as the guys producing the game, and they do a great job. So we can talk about what we're going to shoot and what we need to run coming in and out of breaks and whatnot. But you do have to adapt, and you have to. I've caught myself many times kind of over-explaining, and you don't have to do that as much. So it's also forced me to try and let the bigger moments breathe, where you don't have to explain what's happening and guys are around the bases and whatnot. It's not a step-by-step, play-by-play thing necessarily. I'm learning to be more of a presenter, if you will, and trying to learn from who I think is the best, you know, various TV broadcasters that I've looked up to for a long time. Joe Davis, I think, is outstanding at that, right? I think he lets the moment breathe just as well as anybody else. Joe Buck is, for the longest time, said the most, I think, for the fewest amount of words. So while I'm nowhere on those guys' level, you know, learning how to be a TV guy, I do find myself listening to them and trying to figure out, okay, what do they do that allows them to say enough to convey the moment without really making too much of it? So I've learned quite a bit about that. And also, too, because it's a very small operation, it's very much all hands on deck. You know, I've been wiping seats and delivering flyers to local neighborhoods to say, hey, here's what we're doing. Here are some free tickets. Hope you come out. And you know, a flyer drop rate in the United States in terms of advertisement might give you 2 or 3% of return in Melbourne, because I think people are interested in baseball as a whole. When they see that we have a team, we get about 10% back. So, you know, you end up delivering quite a few flyers throughout the course of the week to say, hey, come out here and see what we're doing. And you end up seeing quite a few people end up filtering in. And of course, they end up coming back because they have a good time. So I've learned, too, how to just kind of do whatever's needed of me, because it's a very small operation. And yesterday I got to the ballpark, and, you know, a lot of people would want to sit down and prepare for the broadcast. And I do, too. But they needed someone to seal the bags of cotton candy. So I was a cotton candy bag sealer for about 20 minutes. And again, you just do it. Because you need to help out wherever you can. And another cool thing is putting together the run sheet for the broadcast. So making sure that everybody gets their proper allocation with ad space. We have a lot of ads that are sold on the broadcast, a lot of reads that are sold on the broadcast, not going overboard, but making sure that all that stuff gets taken care of, because it is a smaller operation. So I've been very fortunate, I think, to call games from a TV perspective, get to learn how to do that a little bit better, because I haven't done it much. And also just really answer the bell wherever they need me. And you never know what you're going to do at the ballpark that day. And I thought I meant that when I talked about Lincoln. And it's in Melbourne, it's about 100 times further than that. So I've learned a lot about myself out here, which is really cool.
This is crushed way out towards left field. The track, the wall, and this is gone. Mitch Edwards, his first as a Melbourne ace, no doubt about it, out to left. And the first home run allowed for Wells in this league since 2013. It's 3-2 now in the bottom of the third.
I think it is easier to watch for certain people baseball delivered by an American. But again, that's where you have to be careful. And we've actually had a few complaints on people who say, you know, we don't really care what's happening in America. Just, you know, this is an Australian baseball broadcast. Keep it to, you know, Aussie baseball. Now, that can be tough because so many of these guys are either playing in the United States or the imports came over from the USA. And so, you know, when you're explaining what they did in 2023, you do have to say, you know, the American summer of 2023, stuff like that. Something that I learned the hard way the first couple of weeks. But, you know, like anybody, you get here and you figure out what works and what doesn't work. And The broadcast has been very well received, which is nice. It's always good to get good feedback, especially in a tough industry where you try to climb up. And so I would say 98% of the people welcome us with open arms, and the 2%, you just kind of have to do your best to accommodate them as well, and understand that they're only doing it because they love Australian baseball and they care about Australian baseball. I will say that, though, one of the funny things is Greg Bird has been, anything he does, anytime he hits a home run, we post the video of it on social media, and it gets an unbelievable amount of traction because the Yankee fan base is crazy, right? And they're still following Greg Bird, even though he hasn't played for the Yankees since 2019, but top prospect for the premier organization of Major League Baseball. And you know that they're going to follow him until he retires. So he hits home runs. We tweet him out, and, you know, they'll get, we have, I think, 8,000 followers on social, on Twitter, but they'll get, I think one of them got 1,000 likes or something like that. Something ridiculous. Right. And one of the comments was, and it was a Yankee fan, "I am a little upset that the commentator is an Australian." So they know he's here in Australia and they see a big time Greg Bird home run, and they want the highlight to be an Aussie broadcaster. And there are a few Australian broadcasters in the league who are local as well. So it really is a mixed bag of broadcasting, and it's been a lot of fun to be a part of.
So you don't pander to them and say "g'day, mate" when you start your broadcasts, or
catch myself too. The Australian pronunciation of Melbourne is Melbourne, and sometimes you can't help but say Melbourne because you're around that. And it's actually easier to say Melbourne than it is Melbourne. But that's the one thing that I'm kind of mixing and matching a little bit. I'm trying to stay true to my accent, but no, I haven't really picked up mate. I don't think mate sounds great coming from an American accent anyways. It's just the way that the Aussies and the English have that inflection of mate. So it sounds weird when I say it anyways, but no, I haven't really pandered much at all anyways.
So have you had much of a chance, if you play Thursday through Sunday, do you get to see some of the rest of the country? It's a big country, of course, big continent.
Yeah, it's a huge country. Yeah, so I don't travel with the team like I do in Lincoln, but I did get to make the trip to Adelaide. Adelaide's a coastal town in South Australia, a lot smaller. I think it's a town of about 1 million. Melbourne's a massive city. It really is. And it has, there's so many people out and about. It feels like Chicago or New York, which is really cool for me coming from a place like Dallas where the downtown city center doesn't really have a whole lot going on. So Melbourne is... in and of itself, I mean, there's so much to explore, so much to see. And we've also gone down the coast. So Melbourne's situated on a bay. So you can drive around, they call it the Great Ocean Road. And it's one of the coolest drives I've ever seen. It takes about an hour and a half to get all the way around the bay, but you can actually still see the skyline of Melbourne on the south end of the bay, which is really cool. You know, clear blue water, beautiful beaches. Don't know if I'll make it out to Sydney. There's just so much going on, even throughout the week. You know, I'm busy with the team, helping out, doing all kinds of different things. So I've been a little busier than I thought I might, and was hoping to travel a little bit more. But it is tough, man. Like, Perth is the next road trip for the Aces. And Perth is essentially going from, you know, what might be New Orleans or you know, maybe Jacksonville, Florida. I don't know, here in Melbourne, all the way out to San Diego. I mean, it's that big of a country. So you can't just make the drive. And even Brisbane, I didn't realize, but when the Aces went to Brisbane a couple of weeks ago, that's a 20-hour drive. That's the same thing as driving from the deep south up to the northeast. I mean, it's the size of the United States land-wise, with about a 12th of the population, to give you an idea of just how much open area there is. And when you drive from one Australian city to another, you know, you go 7 or 8 hours before actually seeing a big kind of city center. You drive through some little towns, but you don't drive through big cities. So I've seen a decent amount of the country. I've explored quite a bit, which I've been fortunate enough to do. But, you know, it's one of those things where I feel like I'd have to come back and prioritize. All right, now I need to go to Sydney this year so I can actually see, you know, all of the landmarks in Sydney.
You will, though, be a tennis fan here coming up very soon, won't you? You getting a chance to see some of that?
Yeah, I grew up watching the Australian Open. I love tennis. I follow it very closely. So it'll be fantastic to go see the Australian Open in person. I've walked around the tennis center, they call it, and they have a lot of sporting venues right in one sort of central area there next to downtown. So very easy to get to from where I live. I live pretty much in the city, a place called St. Kilda. So take me 20 minutes via tram to get to the grounds of the Australian Open. I just need to figure out if I want to go see a match at Rod Laver, the big arena. And I want to try and see, Rafa before he calls it a career. I started watching cricket, really enjoyed it. It is a slow burn. There's different variations of cricket. Test cricket is what we all know as being very long. It's a 5-day match. But the Boxing Day test is always a huge deal. And the test starts on Boxing Day, which is the 26th of December, and runs the next 5 days. It was Pakistan this year. So I got a ticket to the Boxing Day test. I went there, about 63,000 people there. And it was a slow burn for sure, but very fun to watch, very fun to just sit out in the sun, you know, have a few beverages and enjoy cricket because it's an awesome game. So I've become a lot more cultured since I got
here.
There you
go. So if they called you and said, we want you back next year, would you do it?
Absolutely, yeah. It depends, of course, on different things that happen in the USA because you're always trying to progress your career. So if there were some freelance gigs in the United States that you wouldn't be able to turn down, then you're always trying to prioritize those. But if I'm in the same situation next year, you know, I'm gonna chase this dream as long as I possibly can. And there's a lot worse ways to spend, you know, your 28 and 29 year seasons, if you will, or age 28, age 29 seasons, as they call it in baseball in Melbourne. So if they'd have me back, then absolutely. I know they hope that this leads to something big for me in the USA. And historically with the Aces, it has. They've had a broadcaster a handful of years ago who's, I think, my age and now just got hired by the Arizona Diamondbacks. So he's obviously in a good spot. Another guy just down the road, Nick Batters. He's the AAA voice of the Storm Chasers. And he was here for a couple of years in 2020 and 2021, I want to say, and they speak very highly of him. So when I talked to Justin, our GM, before I came out here and said, you know, let's do this. He said, you know, we bring people out here because we're very proud at what it ends up leading to in the United States for them. So of course they're hoping that for me and I'm hoping that for myself, but if the opportunity was there and the situation was there, then absolutely I'd come back because 4 months in Melbourne, Australia, it's pretty hard to beat that.
Yeah. Well, we're hoping that for you as well. So thanks.
I appreciate it, John.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
Yeah. And I'm glad it's all working out and I'm glad it's been a great adventure and we'll see you back here soon.
Absolutely, John. And of course, anytime you need tickets this summer in Lincoln, let me know.
Oh, I heard that. I heard that. Thank you. Michael Dixon is the voice of the Lincoln Salt Dogs, and for the last few months and another month has been the voice of the Melbourne Aces in the Australian Baseball League. I'm John Schrader, and this is Watch the Media.